Good evening to all of those of you joining me on the TikTok, and hello to everyone that's just come into the lounge on Discord. For those of you that are new to what we do here, Tuesday evenings from 6:30 to 7:30, answering family law questions. So I am a practicing family law solicitor, and I'm here to help those of you who might be stuck in the system, looking to make an application, don't quite know how to, etc. I have a channel on Discord where you can ask a question. You're going to hear people any second now asking for some assistance. Come into the Discord. You have to download the app, follow Legal Queen on there, come into the lounge, put your hand up if you wish to ask a question. Okay, so without further ado, I'm going to jump straight into it. I've already got three hands up already. Mia, you are next in the queue. While I'm waiting for Mia to come up, Missy and Captain and Mart, some of my moderators, will assist you if you have a question that you want to ask, but actually you don't want to ask it yourself, or perhaps you don't want your voice to be recognised because maybe your ex is also listening. Sometimes that happens. Mia, whenever you're ready, what's your question, please?
Can you hear me?
I can, yeah.
Oh, okay. So I've just got a question. I've been to court. A contact order was made in March, and then in July, and then again in November.
Yeah.
And basically, it's a contact order where they were ordered, the other party was ordered to have supervised contact. You just messed around. But essentially, there's only been one contact that's taken place between last year. So he's not seen our children for over a year. We went back in court last week because we had another review hearing.
Yes.
And the judges just literally just reset the order. And I got told that I got warned that if I didn't make the children available, that I could face like a people notice. It's just, I was trying to say to the judge, like, isn't that more harmful that he's not seeing the children? Like, he just doesn't book the contact centres. He just doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
And I just don't really know where to go with it, to be honest, next.
I think, Mia, so long as you are doing everything in your power, complying with the order, you know, the family judges are always trying to be fair to both parties because they don't really know who's telling the truth and who's not. So as long as you're doing everything in your power, you're making the children available for contact. And if you're not making them available for contact, there's good reason. Do you know, the children are ill or nothing's been booked, such as the contact centre, then you'll be fine. It may be, and I don't know the ins and outs, but it may be that the court just gave you a little bit of a talking to perhaps make Dad feel that it wasn't all on him. Do you know, I don't know because I'm not there, but sometimes judges can do that. They're just trying to sort of appease both parties in the hope, really, that you guys can sort it out yourselves, if truth be told. That's the real reason.
Yeah. I think I just like wonder how long can this go on for, because we've been in family court now for nearly 18 months.
Yeah.
And like I said, the last order was made in October, review was February. But after October, I heard nothing from his solicitor in terms of contact, the contact centre. He just didn't book anything. He didn't book anything. He didn't make any contact. So I'm ready to make the children available, but I can't make them available if I don't know where we're going or what we're doing. And I just feel like how long can we just keep doing like a rinse and repeat for? Isn't that more harmful? Because I tell the children when I come back, well, you know, there is another order in place, you know, and obviously sometimes they get excited and then there's just nothing, you know, and there's no, like, he asked for indirect contact. I said, yeah, that's fine. If he wants to send him a card, nothing, no birthday, Christmas. There's just been nothing. It's been over 12 months now.
So,
and
Mia,
I just feel like that's more detrimental for them.
Yeah,
but how long can that keep going on for, that we keep having reviews?
Let me jump in. Thanks, Mia. Ultimately, it can go on for years. You know, I mean, I've ran children's cases that have gone on for five, 6 years. Do you know what I mean? What the court's looking for, I'm not saying that yours will, what the court's looking for is direction. I think a lot of times people turn up at family court and they expect the judge to tell them what to do and what's going to happen.
Okay.
And that's not the case. So if you feel that the reason that progress isn't being made and a final order hasn't been achieved because he's just not, you know, stepping up to the plate, tell the judge that. But then tell the judge what it is that you need him to do, i.e. your ex. So if it's a case of, you know, he's got one more chance, if he doesn't book it, then judge, I want you to dismiss his application. So be very upfront with the court, because the court's looking for direction as to what to do. And then they'll turn to
I did say that last week. I just said, look, can we just have a period of indirect contact only for like 3 months just to show some stability and then look at contact again, you know, like direct, but they just reset the order, which includes direct and overnight stays as well, which I'm worried about because obviously he hasn't seen the kids. He doesn't know what their needs are.
So the next time that you go to court then, make sure that you've got that chronology ready to say to the judge, look, this is what happened last time. I'm now asking that you dismiss his application. It's not healthy for the children. You know, it's not healthy for me. Because meanwhile, Mia, let's be honest, you're the one who's having to parent the children and kind of keep all these, you know, litigation balls in the air. Do you know what I mean? So tell
the court
that.
And I had a non-mal on him as well. And that's finished. But I kind of feel like I've not had a reprieve because I've just been dragged through family court. You know, since that non-mal. That's fine. I didn't know I could ask for that. I didn't know that you could ask for the application to be dismissed if he's just not doing, because he's not doing anything. I have genuinely made those children available.
Yeah.
He even took them to the contact centre and he didn't even bother showing. And then when he did, he was 45 minutes late. So I just don't know what else I can do, really.
Yeah. Keep going, Mia. You'll be fine. All right?
All right.
Thanks. Bye.
Thank you. Thanks for that. Thank you. Bye.
Samantha, you are up next. What's your question?
Hi, I haven't really structured this very well. It was kind of an impromptu call.
Okay.
So I have an order in place.
Yeah.
A contact order.
Yeah.
And my child's father's only sticking to one of the contact days and not the other.
Yeah.
It doesn't really bother me or my child. But am I obliged? Do I have to tell the courts that it's not being adhered to?
Are you still in proceedings or have they finished?
I think they finished now. I think that was the final order.
Okay. So if they finish, then don't feel obliged to go back and let the court know. No. The court has obviously heard from both of you. They've made a final order. It's now over to you guys to co-parent. If he's not sticking to the order, essentially, you're asking the court to force him to stick to the order. And sadly, the judge can't do that. You know, we can't make parents see their children, sadly. We can't sort of force them to. So you're under no obligation to go and tell the court. I think what the court would expect you to do is to keep making the children available for contact, but to sort of be reasonable about it. In other words, if you're making them available and dad's continually standing them up and that's having a negative impact on the children, then it may be that you either, you know, reduce the contact. Sometimes parents even stop the contact because the children get that disappointed. But that's not something that you'd have to necessarily take back to court. Okay?
Okay, yeah, no, he's not getting disappointed at all. He knows that it's every other weekend.
Oh, okay.
And the midweek one stopped over a year ago, so.
Okay, okay.
It's just because it's written down by the court, I didn't know whether I had to. Or if it goes back to court for any reason,
and then they
turn around and say, well, why did you not say that this wasn't happening?
No, they won't say that. It'll be, because you're making the children available or the child available. So it'll all be down to dad. If the matter needs to go back to court, it'll be because dad wants to change something. You've done
nothing
wrong.
I have one other quick. Regarding holiday.
Yeah.
So it says on the order that dad is to give me, I think, 30 days notice. I hand over the passport.
Yeah.
And he must tell me like where he's going.
Yeah.
But it doesn't say anything for me. And I'm due to go away soon. And he's saying, well, you need to tell me where you're going, which I don't mind. But is that, it doesn't say that in the order, though.
No. So you don't have to tell him where you're going. I mean, again, this comes down to more co-parenting. You know, a lot of parents, when they split up, they kind of want to get real private, especially when it's things around the children. Unless you think that it's going to impact your holiday, out of courtesy, I would probably say, look, just tell him the country you're going to, tell him how long you're going to be there for, maybe even where you're flying from. However, if you think that that might then open a can of worms and he all of a sudden turns up at your hotel, for example, then obviously keep it to yourself. But no, you don't have to tell him.
I don't think anything like that will happen. And I probably will tell him. Yeah. I just wanted to know if he was right by kind of demanding it.
No, not at all.
It was just the way it was put forward to me that I have to tell him.
No, you don't. You need to let him know that you're taking the child out of the country when you're going and when you'll be coming back, but not necessarily where you're going. Although, as I say, you know, good co-parenting, you know, that would happen anyway.
Yeah. All right. I do try.
I know.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Samantha. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Captain, how are you? Let me take you off mute. How are you?
A couple of questions I've got at the minute.
Yeah.
So you've got two parents who are separated. Let's just say mum wants to take the kids on holiday, which is fine, but then that's going to mean that dad's not going to get his contact.
Yeah.
The question I'm asking is, dad's saying I can't take him on holiday because he's going to miss out on his contact. What do I do?
Well, look, this is where co-parenting gets really silly. Usually, like, don't deprive the kids of a holiday because you're going to miss out on a weekend. What I tend to say to my clients is, once you've arranged the holiday, make sure that you're offering make-up contact to the other parent. So maybe you double down on the weekends, or maybe when you get back from holiday, if the kids aren't at school, you say, look, you have them for a week now if you want to. So, you know, you have to sort of step outside of the order sometimes, and that's just called co-parenting. But if dad is adamant that he wants his contact, all she can do really to remedy it and make sure she can take the children on holiday is to make an application to the court, which is just so sad, using the C100 specific issues order.
Thanks, Tracy.
Pleasure.
This next one is finances.
Yeah.
I'm currently going through a financial remedy. We own two houses, one being the FMH, which I live in with my two children under 16. We were married for 9 years, cohabiting for 17. My mum signed over her house to me in 2016 and my siblings to prevent future care home costs. She still lives in the house and fit and well. My ex is wanting a share in my mum's property. However, it's not accessible. And if my mum needed future care, the money from a house would be for her.
Yeah.
Is there anything I can do to ring fence that particular property?
So my mum. I'm just going to go back a step. Has this person actually got the house in her name at the moment? Does she say that?
It's in her name and her sibling's name.
Okay. So she's already, legally then, she's already received the inheritance, even though mother is alive, because mom's transferred it to both of them. Her share then will start off by being included. If we have enough equity from other things in the marriage to be able to ring fence it, generally the court will. However, she does have a pretty good argument there that if mom needs further care, they may have to liquidise that asset in order to pay for it. The answer to this question, if I'm being perfectly honest, if the person's listening, is what other assets do we have in the marriage? And will the court be able to satisfy housing needs and income needs if we ring fence that property or her share of the property?
Yeah, okay. And just following on, 9 years married, cohabiting for 17.
Yeah.
That sounds like, is that the seamless transition into marriage? So
absolutely.
It counts 17 years.
Absolutely. It would be 17 plus the 9. Yeah. Long relationship. Yeah.
That's fun. Yeah. All right, that's it. Oh, and Karen's on tonight as well, Tracy.
Oh, lovely. I'm going to announce that now. Thanks, Captain. Okay,
thanks.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
So, yeah, Karen is resident, I say our resident specialist in all things passport related. So if you've got any passport questions, particularly with the summer coming and you've separated and maybe you want to get the kids' passports or whatever, Karen's always on and she'll help you. Start your comments with HMPO, which just helps Karen identify and get to you quicker. Thank you, Karen, as ever. She's actually pinned, or she had pinned something on TikTok there just to help you guys out. Kanika, you are up next. How can I help?
Hello. Yeah, so I'm currently going through divorce proceedings with my ex-husband. Yeah. So I was with him for 6 years. We were only married for 6 months.
Yeah.
We bought a house together in March 2022.
Yeah.
And he put down in a £100,000 deposit that he got from his parents' inheritance when they passed away. Now, because there was a history of domestic abuse and things like that, I can't actually talk to him because I've got a non-molestation order out against him. So I'm having to go through solicitor because there's no other sort of people that could act as an intermediary. So I'm racking up quite a big amount of, you know, solicitor fees. I think it's about $7,500 at the moment. I was just wanted to be done, you know. I wanted to walk away with nothing from the house, nothing from him. The only joint asset is the house. And then two dogs. So I said, oh, I just want the dogs. You can have everything. And obviously he's not agreeing to that. So because obviously the dogs are considered as chattel, I'm having to now proceed with for me and taking it through the court.
Oh my goodness.
Now, yeah, which is an absolute nightmare. Now, am I in a position now to actually go back and say, well, I was willing to walk away with nothing. I've now got to pay to go through court. So would the threshold now go back to 50-50? Obviously, as the starting point, I know he put in the majority of the equity, but I paid more on a monthly basis. I took on all three of his children and we had 50-50 custody with his ex-wife. And obviously, I've got nothing now. So, yeah, I don't really know what my next steps are because it's going to cost sort of thousands of pounds to take it through court.
Can I be brutally honest, and I say this for you and for everyone else that's listening, if you don't know your legal position after spending £7,500, there is something really wrong there, okay? I would be suggesting, and I say that not as a criticism to you, but just to have everybody sort of on their guard, you know what I mean? You should absolutely know what your legal position is. In every eventuality, you know, your solicitor may have said to you, look, we can't get you a clean break order. He keep everything, you keep the dogs and you both walk away because it wouldn't be seen as fair and reasonable. Followed by, and this would be seen as fair and reasonable. You know, this is what the court's looking at getting. The fact that you
So that's the bit I'm missing. Obviously I was willing to walk away with nothing. And then I had to sign something to say I'm going against the legal advice of my sister, basically.
That will be a disclaimer.
But now, obviously, because the circumstances have changed and he won't agree to walking away with, well, to be fair, there's only about £80,000 equity in the house now because of the property and we've owned and early mortgage fees and things like that. But they were never able to give me like even a ballpark figure. So the cost of maybe taking it through court potentially would have been the same as maybe what I would have been awarded. So that's why I said, I can't be bothered. I don't want 2 years of court and £20,000 in fees if I'm only going to get £10,000 because it was all his inheritance. Now he's forcing me to go to court because we can't agree just over the dogs. I'm back to square one where they're now offering me litigation loans to fund it. But I could walk away with debt and nothing,
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? You have every right to say to your solicitors, hang on a minute, I've paid you £7,500. You now want me to get all wrapped up in a litigation loan. Is anyone able to tell me what I'm legally entitled to? You need to know that. Because actually, if you don't know that, why the hell are you taking out a litigation loan? You've got to be told of your prospects of success in court. The one thing I would say is that if you think that the pot, the marital pot, is small, drop the solicitors and consider doing it yourself, okay? I'm not able to answer your question, unfortunately, because I don't know what the pot's worth. But what I do know is that if I could see, you're bound to have done four me's, if I can see yours and I can see his, then at least I'd be able to give you an idea based on that.
Yeah.
And maybe before you drop your solicitor, you just say to them, look, I just need half an hour of your time. What am I entitled to? And you don't be charging me for that either. I've paid you £7,500 and I'm completely in the dark. Go back to them, challenge it. You know,
yeah.
If a solicitor knows, well, I like to think that if one of my clients rang me up and said, "Trace, I'm just so confused," I would be, okay, let's just sit down, take a minute and let me explain. Because I would feel as if I'm not doing my job properly, you know, if my client didn't understand what I was saying. So go back to them. If you don't get anywhere with them, just know that you can do this yourself. Don't necessarily get into more debt, you know?
That's it. They just keep pushing me to that my only prospect is get a litigation loan and then see it through. And because like I said, there's about 80 grand's worth of equity in the house.
Yeah.
That's it. And then there's probably two cars and that's it. He's got three children, but he doesn't have custody of them anymore.
Yeah.
I'm now renting.
Yeah.
There's no way he can remortgage the house and get me off of it.
Yeah.
That's it. You know, there's 80 grand in the house.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah.
Obviously, my solicitor said, look, starting point's 50-50. Obviously, he put in the majority, but we can't say what you'd get at all. This point, I'm just like, the only thing I want is the dog. So if I'm having to go through court just to pay 20 grand to just get custody of the dog, it's just ridiculous.
I know. I mean, look, what you've just summarised to me there is your legal advice. You could have got that off Google. Everyone knows the starting point's 50-50. It doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
And the fact that they're saying to you, we can't possibly tell you, that's our job. Our job is to let a client know, should you go to court or shouldn't you? You know, if you go to court, chances are this is what you're going to get. And the reason it's our job is that we've been to court once or twice. So we kind of know what the courts are doing. Anyway, go back to them. I could rant on about that all night. I really get annoyed.
So just one other thing. Sorry. We haven't actually done the Form E yet.
Okay.
Because he wasn't in he wouldn't converse with us and he didn't have a solicitor.
Yeah.
There was no way of us getting in contact with him. So with the non-mo, I had to get a bailiff and everything to find him.
Yeah.
Now we are in contact and he's gone, no, actually, I'm not going to walk away with everything but the dogs. Yeah. Now we've got to go to court. So I'm about to pay the 260 odd, whatever it is, to make the first application and do my Form E. So once I've done my Form E, should they be able, and he has, should they be able to give me a bit more advice? And then at that point, I can go, actually,
No. You have literally whittled off to me on this platform what the assets are. So, even without a Form E, at a first consultation, we're able to tell a client by asking a few more questions what the likelihood is of your prospects of success and what you're likely to get. We don't need to do Form E's. Sometimes advice changes when the Form E's come about because actually we discover another pension or we discover that there's more money in the bank. But we're able to give you the bones of it before we actually start exchanging Form E's.
So if I push them and they're just saying nothing, do I just go find someone else? Absolutely.
Don't make that application until you know if you've got a good chance of success, because once the application's made, you're then the applicant as well, so you're going to be responsible for doing the bundles and driving that bus, which is going to cost you even more money. He'll be the respondent. All right, I'll leave that one with you.
Thank you.
Okay, bye. Hiya, Mart. Sorry, I was having a little rant then. I do get annoyed when other, you know, professional colleagues aren't ethical, but there we go.
That's how it is. Quick fire round for you.
Okay.
I have a disabled son with a negligence payout.
Yeah.
I split with my husband before it was finalised. What is he entitled to what my son won?
Sorry, Mark, I didn't understand that. Say that again. What has son won?
So,
In the negligence.
So I think the son has had like a negligence payout. But they've split before the payout was finalised.
Okay.
Is the dad, I'm assuming, entitled to anything what the son has won?
You mean as part of it, or does this person mean as part of the financial settlement?
I'm assuming so, yeah. So I'm assuming that because of the child's age, mum has been paid out.
Yeah. So the answer is no, because that will be a personal injury claim, I'm suspecting. You know, whatever's happened to the child, they've got a payout. That won't be included in any sort of financial settlement because it's for the child. And if it means that mum is the main carer of the child and therefore by default that money's held, I mean, sometimes PI client claims can run to millions. And then we have deputyship involved. So we have a guardian that looks after the money, and it's not just the parent. But to answer that person's question, no, it won't form part of the matrimonial asset if it's a personal injury claim payout.
No worries.
Okay.
My question is, my daughter was in a DB relationship. Now every 3 months, he takes alcohol tests. His mother, hang on, this is all mixed up. His mother is the supervisor, and that's the only way he can see his children. What happens if he fails the tests?
If he fails drug and alcohol tests, well, that will depend on what the order says. Usually, whilst we're waiting on drug and alcohol results, that parent who has the addiction issue may get indirect contact, so FaceTime or letters and cards, etc. If the direct contact is dependent upon negative results, then obviously it won't happen. There'll be no direct contact until such times as we can get some negative results, because the court may consider that the child's at risk.
Yeah. No worries. Are assets abroad counted in the UK for a divorce? Married in the UK for 5 years, thinking to purchase a property in Spain with my savings and not the husband's. If we divorce, will he take half of that property?
Absolutely. Well, he I'm not saying he will take half. I think the first question was, are the assets included? Yes, they are, because all you've done is converted savings in a bank into bricks and mortar. It's still an asset as part of the marriage, regardless of where it is in the world. Will he be entitled to 50% of it? That's difficult to say. It will be put on the table once we and be included in sort of that divvying up process. Whether he gets 50% is, I don't know.
Yeah, no worries. What happens if you don't comply with an arrangement, a court order arrangement? What are the consequences?
If you don't comply with is that a child arrangements order?
Is yes.
It? Yeah. It depends. I mean, there are no consequences generally unless we've got a penal notice attached. Or sometimes if it's ongoing breaches, so let's say I've run a few cases where mom continually doesn't allow father to see the child, and we've actually got a change of residence after sort of 4 or 5 years because it's parental alienation. If there's a penal notice attached, that parent might be asked to pay a fine, do community service. So it will depend on the breach, really. Right, GBR, you are next up. What's your question?
Hi, Tracy. Hi,
Hello.
Hi, Kai.
I'm good, thank you.
So basically, I am refusing to sign a deed of separation because my ex has not abided to what has been agreed. So now his solicitor is now threatening that he's going to take it to court, but I'm not understanding on what grounds, because I haven't frustrated the sale of the property. You know, I've abided to everything that we've agreed to, and he's not. So now I'm quite worried, because I'm litigating in person for the family court, and I just think if he takes it to court on this as well, I don't really know any legal terms on where I stand or anything.
So has an application been made at the moment?
No, but his solicitor has been threatening it for the last year.
And what is it that they're asking for that you don't agree with?
So the deed of separation I've not signed because he's not abided to everything that we've agreed to. So like he's now stopped paying the mortgage on the property, even though the house is up for sale. The thing is that I'm obviously now a single parent. I'm on a low income.
Yeah.
And it was always the agreement that he paid the mortgage, because I don't actually earn enough to pay it.
Yeah.
And like I'm actually have sole custody of our daughter at the moment as well.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it does go to court, whether the court will take into consideration that obviously he has no contact with her at the moment, and that I'm her sole carer, if I would then be awarded more percentage of the equity, or
So it are these agreements that you both reached in the deed of separation?
Yeah, so we agreed on the equity split.
Okay.
However, now, because he's not paid the mortgage, the total...
Oh, I've lost you. The total what? Say that again.
See, what we agreed beforehand. So so the total payback was 280,000, which has now gone up to 285,000. So I had asked that he takes lower equity because obviously I can't afford to take anything lower of the net proceeds as I need more of the equity to put a higher deposit down on a property.
Yeah. Well, look, I mean, if the agreement that you've reached and is written down isn't being abided to or abided with, then you can't sign it. You just let his solicitor know, I can't sign it, because actually he's already defaulting on this agreement and it needs amending. You know, if he's not paying the mortgage and you then need to amend it to reflect that, then you can't sign it. And if they're not happy to amend it or they don't agree with your position, then it may well be that the matter has to go to court and then the court will decide who gets what.
Okay, but this is my worry now because I think this is how it's going to turn out, that he's going to put an application into the court,
but
I just don't understand on what ground.
Yeah, but sometimes what I would say is don't worry about it, because if parties aren't able to reach an agreement themselves or with solicitors, it can go on and on and on, okay? Whereas when you make a court application, you've got your finish line in the sand. Because eventually you'll go through the process and you'll get to the final hearing. Do you see what I mean? So
would I be better putting in the application myself or would I hold fire?
No, just hold fire. It doesn't matter who makes the application. Generally, the one that makes the application carries the burden of making sure that all the court papers are filed on time. So you might not want to do that because actually that's going to be more expensive and more time consuming for you. And when your second part was, I don't know on what grounds you'd make the application, it will all be written in the application form. So if he does do that, A, at least you know you're going to have a finish line, and B, it'll be crystal clear what he is that he's asking for. And at that point, then you would go and get advice, even if it was just 1 hour of advice.
So I did actually have a solicitor going backwards and forwards with his solicitor. But when they sent the deed of separation back in the summer, my solicitor wanted to charge £750 plus VAT just to proofread it. And I obviously didn't have the money for that. So I think maybe September, I've had to respond to his solicitor solely because I can't afford to be paying my solicitor anymore.
Okay. I mean, look, by the sounds of it, you're doing a great job already. So, you know, don't agree to the order. Let them know why you won't sign it. And then it might just be that you have to hold your nerve and see if he makes the application.
Okay, perfect. Thanks so much, Tracy.
No worries. Okay, bye.
Thank you. Bye. Bye.
Captain, how can I help?
So a couple of questions. This is for Cara. I believe she's in the audience. My ex-partner has an unusual shift pattern, but he always spends 2 weekends at home. He is taking me to family court because he wants fixed days, which is great, but it's to fit around him and his schedule, and he wants one of his two free weekends to himself, meaning that I have our child at least 3 weekends a month. I wouldn't mind, but it's because he wants me time. I want him to have her for the full 2 weekends a month, as that's where the quality time is. His partner is a solicitor, so he has confidence that a judge will sway in his favour from somewhere. But I need to know where I stand on trying to get 2 full weekends as part of a fixed schedule.
So if this came before the family court, there's every chance the judge is going to say, look, the status quo at the moment is that mum has 3 and dad has 1. So we'll keep to the status quo, because if dad doesn't want 2, a court order won't force a parent to have contact. And that's really sad, isn't it? Because you would hope that dad wouldn't be that selfish and just have the 2 weekends. But, you know, if dad said, look, for whatever reason, I cannot have 2 weekends a month, I just want the 1, judge isn't going to force it.
Oh, thanks, Tracy. This is for another lady, and I believe she's in the audience, but I'm not going to mention her name.
Okay.
Is there anything I can do to get my ex-partner to move out whilst I'm attempting to get an occupation order? I have an ongoing police investigation against him, so don't want to wait months to get the occupation order in place. And that's more of a criminal question than a family question.
Well, no,
isn't
no,
it?
Occupation orders and non-moles do sit in the family court. Just repeat the question for me, Captain. Sorry.
So she doesn't want. What is there anything she can do to get her ex-partner to move out? While she's attempting to get an occupation order. She's got an ongoing police investigation and doesn't want to wait months for the occupation order.
No is the answer to that. If he won't move out of his own accord. Then and obviously he's named on the property, he's got as much right to be there as she has, and therefore the only way she will get him out is by order of the court, and occupation order is the only way. And no, it won't be fast.
Yep, okay, thanks Tracy. All right. And then final one from me is for Pick Me Vibes, who believes in the audience.
Okay.
Who came on a spouse visa, which should have curtailed to 60 days, but he is in the country. Will this affect any divorce proceedings? Also have a two-year-old, but I don't believe he qualifies parental visa. And he is not a skilled worker. Can I divorce someone here legally? And will I be able to get a divorce and financial order if he lives in another country?
Yes, so long as one of you live here, then that's fine. Doesn't matter where you are married, the UK courts can divorce you. Even if you married outside the UK, and even if one of you live outside of the UK. I have lots of clients where they either live in a different country, but their spouse is in the UK or vice versa. So that's absolutely fine. The spousal visa, the fact that he's here on a temporary visa, won't make any difference at all. The court will still grant you the divorce and the financial order. If the UK courts are doing the divorce, then they've got the jurisdiction through the financial order. Acha, is that? I hope I've said that right. You are up next. What's your question?
Hi, Tracy. Hope you're well. I was married to him for 5 years, and then we got divorced in 2020.
Yeah.
We did a child arrangements order, and it was granted that our son should stay in the country with him. So the country is somewhere in West Africa.
Yeah.
Because I was living there while we were married, but my son was born in the UK here. And then we moved when he was like 2 years old. So as he was habitually resident there, they said that he should stay there as his dad wanted to raise him in an African Muslim environment.
Right.
Since the child arrangements order was granted to him, he has now moved to the UK. He's now here with his new wife and has left the child back in the country. But I don't know who he's with and, you know, what school he goes to, where he lives or anything that he's up to, because I'm barely able to speak to him. I went back to the courts last year in September, and the judge said that they can't do anything about it anymore. That it's either up to me to keep him here or let him go back, which I kept him while he was on holiday. But then when it was time to take him back to Gambia, he came to the house and called the police, and they said they have to stick to the existing order.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure like what my options are in terms of getting him back here, because he's just out there with no mum and dad while he's, dad is living in the UK.
That's so bad. This is going to take specialist advice. You're going to need, it's out of my area in that I wouldn't know chapter and verse on this, because you'll get family lawyers that specialise in international matters. All they do is like this abduction cases. Well, it's not an abduction because there's an order, but do you know what I mean? They will specialise in getting children back to the UK. Definitely not something that I can answer the question on here on Discord. I genuinely wouldn't know how you would go about doing that, or even reversing that order, getting another order. The child's in Gambia now, I take it. So does the UK even have jurisdiction? If you Google, it will be expensive, but I'm sure that it will be worth it. Google international children lawyer, UK, okay? You will then be signposted to some, and this is all that they do. You know, they won't do a bit of finance, a bit of children, a bit of divorce. They will generally just do the international cases.
Okay.
All right.
I'll do that.
Fab. All right. Good luck.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye.
That is so heartbreaking. That really is. But things like that, you do have to take the specialist advice. You really do. Cara, let me take you off mute. How can I help?
Hi. Well, it's, the other gentleman did read out my message, but it's kind of, it's a bit of a complicated one. It's the one where my ex-partner, he works sort of weird shifts and he wants to get fixed days. He's the one that's taking me to family court because he doesn't want his daughter for 2 weekends. Purely for selfish reasons, because he wants me time.
Yeah.
Now, I'm fully aware, like you say, I can't force him to have her for 2 weekends. I don't know why he wouldn't want to, because she's amazing. Oh. But would I be able to say, well, actually, you know, your child maintenance, you have her for between 9 and 12 nights a month. Well, actually, those, you know, maybe Monday, Tuesday, Wednesdays aren't good for me. So that would put him perhaps in the lower bracket. So I could say, well, to make up that the days to be into your bracket, you know, the only other option is to have her for the second weekend. Would I be able to push that? If he's being difficult because of me time, could I be difficult the other way around?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely you can. I think the difficulty when Mar asked the question that I saw is that if it did go to family court, chances are a judge isn't going to force that. That's all I meant by that. Do you know what I mean? It's really hard when a parent just doesn't want any more. But absolutely, Cara. I mean, you know, you could push it from that angle for sure. Yeah, that'd be fine.
Yeah, it's frustrating because I can understand when mothers sort of withhold the child, but actually I want him to see her more.
Yeah,
it's mad.
Yeah, I know, and it's so sad because, as you say, there are so many parents out there desperate to see their children and they can't. Because the other parent won't let them. It just seems so unfair.
Your mind.
Yeah.
It is, yeah. Oh, well, brilliant. Thank you very much for answering that for me.
Okay, thanks, Cara. Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Mart, you are up next. Let me... Oh, you're on mute. There we go.
How are we?
I'm good, thank you.
So the questions I have left for you. So just to update on the question I asked last time about the lady who was trying to get a solicitor to accept her ex's new partner's assets.
Yeah.
So basically she said, I wanted to know if I push for the partner's assets and income as they are on more than me and his housing needs are met, would the court take that into account?
If they've been living together for more than 6 months, then there should be full disclosure made by the partner. By the ex's new partner. I did a video on this last week and it just imploded because people were so angry. But that's the reason. You know, if you've got one person that is on their own and struggling to make ends meet, it's not that we're going to take the new partner's assets. We're just going to include them because what the court would say is, well, that the ex can share their housing needs with the new partner. So the ex doesn't need as much from the matrimonial pot. That's the reason why we ask for new partner's details. It's not that we're going to start, you know, getting the new partner to pay for things, but we say, well, you know, the ex can now share the housing needs with the new partner, and therefore the single person who's maybe struggling financially can have a little bit more to assist them.
Yeah, no, that's fine. So I have for you Carrie 87's question. My partner and I separated, currently waiting for him to sign the stage one of the divorce papers. Yeah. I didn't change my surname when we got married, and prior to separation, we agreed that we would double barrel our children's names.
Yeah.
He has since gone back on his word and refusing to double barrel his name and told me that I will need to take him to court. However, he wants me to have a round table with him to speak to him about financial order and co-parenting. Since he has taken me to the court, is there any point of trying to talk to him about the matters other than inside the court?
I mean, look, I'm always suggesting that parents or, you know, relationships try to talk even when they've separated, because it's important that you can co-parent. You know, I think parents, who aren't able to co-parent think that the family court have got the answers and will assist, and it really doesn't, which is why children's orders break down all the time. It's not because the court haven't done their job properly, it's because the parents can't co-parent. So look, you're in court anyway, so you can, you know, use that to fix some of the problems. But in the meantime, yeah, talk to him. If he doesn't answer you or won't respond, fine, at least you tried. But, you know, don't just think that because we're in court, I can't talk to him anymore. And I'm not saying that's what she's saying or what she's thinking. But yeah, just talk. I mean, you know, there's going to come a time when the lawyers have gone home and the, you know, the family court aren't involved anymore. And you've just got each other, really.
Right. And the final one I have for you is, my friend and her cousin bought a house when they were 18. The cousin had moved out many years ago and lived with a new husband and hasn't yet contributed to any payments since 2018.
Yeah.
Her name is still on the mortgage, but is my friend is paying for everything and paying for the repairs herself.
Yeah.
The cousin has now decided she wants doesn't want to be tied to the house anymore, so my friend put it up for sale. Now the cousin is demanding at least 25% of the sale. Is she entitled to that much, if anything? This has made my friend ill and scared of the family falling out. Any advice would be appreciated.
It's really hard for me to answer these sorts of questions. I mean, so, you know, I don't mind answering questions and signposting, but sometimes what these questions warrant is some advice. Do you know what I mean? Because, you know, there's going to be a bit more context to that, Mark, than what they've just sort of told us. So that one's a really difficult one. What I would say is don't ever let anything like, you know, family law overwhelm you. Do you know what I mean? The bigger picture is that it will be sorted. So rather than making, you know, God love her, if she's feeling ill with it all, don't let that happen. Put the energy into even getting a 1 hour consultation with somebody, whether it be me, whether it be another solicitor, because honestly, once you are told the legal position, you feel so much better. You really do.
Yeah.
And then you guarantee the amount of people I speak to and they say to me, oh my God, I just feel so much better now. At least I know exactly what I've got to do. I haven't fixed the problem. I've just shown them a way to, okay, this is what you're entitled to and this is how you're going to get it. Or this is what you're not entitled to. But at least they know is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Fab.
And that is all that I have for you, Trace.
Oh, thank you, Mark. Appreciate that. I'll speak to you soon.
Cheers, Trace.
All right, bye.
Ciao, ciao.
Guys, I'm going to wrap up. Thank you so much for joining me. We had so many people in the Discord this evening, and I know when I say I'm going to wrap up, everyone starts to leave the lounge. But thank you, guys. Join me again next week. I'm going to be back Tuesday, 6:30 to 7:30. We're all here to help each other.